The cross of Jesus Christ brings us to the climax of redemptive history, the last 6 hours of that redemptive purpose of God. And now, at the close even of those 6 hours, the Lord Jesus, in one remarkable word, said, "It is finished." I think too often Christians even have a romantic notion about the cross. It's become an ornament in places of worship. It's become that which is used for personal jewelry. The Red Cross has turned it into a symbol of humanitarianism. But that cannot diminish the horrors of the cross. It was a shameful, it was a painful, a frightful method of execution. But notwithstanding the pain and the horrors of the cross, the New Testament places very little emphasis upon the actual suffering that the Lord Jesus experienced on that rugged cross. But rather, it focuses attention primarily upon the work of the cross, a work that was well done, a work indeed that was finished. And so Christ made that declaration when, in the very throes of his physical sufferings and agony, "It is finished." A single word that sums up the completion of the work of salvation that he came to earth to accomplish. And there was a straight line from the manger to the cross. And in these few moments that we have, I want us to consider, what was finished? What is it that Christ said was finished? Can I say, first of all, that the cross finished the work of humiliation? The incarnation was the beginning of the incarnation as God was manifest in the flesh. And he was manifest in the flesh for the very purpose of death. But in this humiliation, he rendered an obedience unto the law of God. Paul tells us that he was made of a woman, made under the law. Paul tells us as well that he became obedient as a servant. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Throughout his life, under the law, keeping the law, obeying the law, satisfying every demand of the law, earning a perfect righteousness before that law in behalf of his people. And in that obedience, in that perfect life, Christ earned the right to die for his people. There was nothing that was to be done to fulfill righteousness that was not done. And now the cross marks the end of that act of obedience that was satisfied. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And by his life of obedience, he earned life, but in his purpose of saving his people, he took death. The cross, I say, marked the end of that obedience. It marked the end of suffering. Scripture tells us that he learned obedience through his sufferings, that he was made a little lower than the angels to become the captain of our salvation through his sufferings. Let us not limit the sufferings of Christ to the last week of his life. Let us not limit it to the last 6 hours of his life. For the whole life of Christ was characterized by misery and suffering, as that one who was the perfect and the spotless Lamb of God, that one that was undefiled in every way, walked through this cursed world, ridiculed, hated, mocked, certainly reaching its climax in these last 6 hours. But now the cross marked the end of that suffering that was endured, a climactic end. Never again would he be persecuted. Never again would he be derided by the rabble. Never again would he be crowned with thorns. Never again would he be scourged. Never again would he have to cry those words of dereliction, of being forsaken by God. The sufferings that he endured now came to a climactic end. It is finished. The obedience has been rendered to satisfy the law of God, to earn a righteousness for my people. The suffering that was necessary as part of this atoning work, all of that is done. That humiliation, but ironically, the end of humiliation was the beginning of glory. And in just 3 days, he was going to demonstrate his triumph and his victory over this death as he was raised from the grave. It is finished. The cross, I say, finished the work of humiliation. But can I say also that the cross finished the wrath of God? The wrath of God was the obstacle to our salvation. The wrath of God was the great hindrance. We are separated. Our sins have separated us from God. There is a wrath, a just wrath, that God places upon those who are outside of the law of God. But I say Christ on the cross finished the wrath of God. You think of those Old Testament sacrifices. And so often in the Old Testament sacrifices, we see the fire coming down and consuming the sacrifice. But in the sacrifice of Christ, it is as though the sacrifice consumed the very wrath of God. Consuming the wrath of God as justice was satisfied. The wages of sin is death. And justice demands that there must be the full payment of that unrighteousness, of that sin. And as we have heard, already today, that satisfaction is either going to be rendered by the sinner, or that satisfaction is going to be rendered by the substitute. And this was the great undertaking of the Lord Jesus. The great undertaking as he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. As he became the curse so that we might become his righteousness. I say his death satisfied the justice of God. His death was the end of the power of sin. It ended sin's power. His death was the end of death itself, in Owen's classic work, The Death of Death and the Death of Christ. Christ finished the wrath of God. God can no longer be angry with those who are covered with the blood shed by his precious Son. Justice can ask no more. We speak of propitiation. The song that we have just sung speaks of that propitiation that Christ experienced. Oh, a big theological word, but it simply means the satisfaction that God's wrath was appeased. As Isaiah said in chapter 12, God was angry. He was angry, but he's not angry anymore because he was satisfied with the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus. Justice was satisfied and peace was achieved. Peace was achieved. As Jesus put an end, he finished every reason that God was angry with us. And he accomplished peace. Every impediment to fellowship was taken care of. The cross finished it. The chastisement, Isaiah says, that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. How amazing. How absolutely amazing. The wrath of God, the wrath of God that is just, the wrath of God that the sinner deserves because of his transgressions, the wrath of God that pays justly the wages of sin, satisfied by the cross of Christ, by the shedding of his blood. It is finished, Jesus says. The wrath of God has been satisfied. Not only did the cross finish the work of humiliation, not only did the cross finish the wrath of God, but can I say as well that the cross finished the way to God? For all of redemptive history was leading to this very moment. As soon as man needed a word of grace, when man fell, as soon as a word of grace was needed, as soon as a gospel was needed, that gospel word and that gracious word was revealed, that there's going to be a seed of the woman that comes. And this seed of the woman is going to smash, he's going to crush the head of this serpent. And now from that moment on, every moment of history was leading unfailingly and strategically on purpose. Oh, there was hostility as the seed of the serpent did everything that he could do to try to thwart the cross of Christ. But God had a purpose to save his people and his son. And here comes Jesus. Everything you read in the Old Testament, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And now I say the cross marks the end of that way to God. In the Old Testament, the way was open for sure, but the way was restricted. And all of the ceremonies, all the rituals, the way was there. They were like the orange and white barrels that we see on the highway so frequently here. They're making the way difficult, leading to the right place. But as though now Christ has come and all those construction barrels are gone, no longer do we need animal sacrifices. No longer do we need the tabernacle with all of its restrictions and all of its ritual and all of its rigmarole. Oh, all pointing to Jesus. All pointing the way to the Lamb that was going to come, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But now the Lamb has come. The Lamb has come, and when the coming of the Lamb, when Jesus came, now all of those shadows are gone. The Son is here. No longer the shadows, and the way has been opened up. The way has been opened up, and Jesus said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And as Jesus finished this work of salvation, as he made those powerful, powerful words, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was divided. From the top to the bottom. For this was not something that man could do. No, this was the token evidence that God was satisfied, that God was well pleased with what Jesus had done. And now it is finished, and that veil that was the ultimate hindrance of man having access to God in that symbolism of the tabernacle and then the temple, it was torn open. Picturing for us that free access, that free entrance that we now have to the very presence of the Lord. The blood opened up the way. The blood opened up the way for sinners. Sinners that are guilty and sinners that are the enemies of God, sinners that are haters of God. The blood has opened up the way where sinners, on the merits of Jesus, in the power of the blood that he shed, that sinners now can have access. Sinners can have access into the very presence of the God of heaven. No longer a need for rituals. No longer a need for animal blood to be shed. As Bonar's great hymn says, what? No blood, no altar now. The sacrifice is o'er. The cross finished the work of redemption. There's nothing else that needs to be done, nothing else that needs to happen. there's the cross. And as we have this occasion on this special day when we commemorate and when we have the opportunity to think about what Jesus has done, there's nothing else that needs to be done. He's done it all. And our salvation, then, the salvation of those for whom he died, rests not in what they bring. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's our only hope. Our only hope for salvation, our only hope for life, our only hope for eternity is the fact that Jesus died and that we by faith can say that, yes, Jesus died for me. Tetelestai. It's finished. The work of redemption. May God give us eyes to see him. May God give us hearts to love him. May God give us faith to cling to him as our only hope for eternity, our only hope for life is because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks that Christ has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen.
Dear friends, the sixth word of the cross has come to us through the ministry of Dr. Michael Barrett from Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids.